welcome to the Shame Free Zone with Veronica Monet, your friendly former sex worker and certified sexologist. The Shame Free Zone is a safe place for your questions and your secrets about all things sexual.
Shame Free Zone, and this is your host, Veronica Monet. You thought you were going to have to listen to a rerun. Well, I just fooled you. Actually, I didn't think my guest was going to show. Turns out her phone was disconnected, but we got all those technical difficulties ironed out, and you are in for a big treat. This woman's a heavy hitter. She's got a brand new book out called It's a Breakup, Not a Breakdown. And the book just came out this year, 2009. She's already been all over the media. We're talking the Today Show, the Tyra Banks Show, Playboy Radio, New Zealand's Good Morning America, and even French radio. So, Lisa Stedman, welcome to the Shame Free Zone.
Thank you so much. I'm so glad to be here tonight.
Well, I'm thrilled to have you here. And you sent me a copy of your book. I've been going through it.
Yes.
But, before we get to California.
I am.
So what are you writing about breakups for?
Well, you know, when I started this whole journey, I was going through my own big breakup. So there were definitely things I needed to learn. And now.
So, Lisa, you're happily married. Why are you writing about breakups?
Well, you know, when I started this whole journey 5 years ago, I was going through my big breakup. I was not at that time happily married, and I had a lot of stuff to figure out, and I really wanted to get over the mistakes and the relationship patterns that I kept finding myself in. So that's where the journey started, and now, yes, I have called in the most magnificent man into my life, and I really work with other women to help them get away from what's not working and heal their hearts and step into a more hopeful and really happy and amazing future.
And, you know, it's funny because talking to you, you're such a positive person, but I have to admit the subtitle to your book is very naughty. Let me, the listeners haven't heard it yet. It's a 21-day action plan to plot your revenge, spoil yourself, and find out how good your life is without him. That actually sounds kind of mean.
Can I be honest? I'll be honest with you. It sounds snarky, doesn't it?
It does.
It does, and I will be totally transparent and say I hate that line, and I actually asked my publishers to change it, and they wouldn't. So they believe it will sell books. I find it misleading, and if I could speak to one thing, it is that I don't believe in revenge.
Oh, honey, I'll tell you something. I could totally, we could talk an hour just about publishers. Now, my book is called Sex Secrets of Escorts, but the subtitle is something I almost walked on the contract over.
Yes,
because
I'm familiar with this problem.
They tried to call it, get this, What Men Really Want.
Oh,
and
wow.
I called him up and I said, you won't be putting my name with anything that says that, and I will walk on this book contract right now. And I'd already gotten the check and everything. I mean, we're almost there. They're just starting to promote it, right? I've already written.
Yeah.
Yeah. So if you go over to Amazon, it has that old subtitle on it, What Men Really Want. But the book itself,
wow.
Yeah. The book itself was published as Tips from a Pro.
Okay. I like that.
So I, you know, they changed it per my demands, but it never got changed on Amazon, and so it's still out there in the blogosphere. It's like this horrible insult to my feminist politics.
Well, and it's one of those things that, and I really want to get into the juice of the book because the subtitle is so, to me, irrelevant, but I hear you and I'm with you, and whenever someone asks about that, I need to be very upfront and clear and say, revenge works best in your head. Do not take it out in public. Do not take it out on your ex. It comes back to haunt you in so many ways, including restraining orders, a tarnished reputation, and it does not help you move on.
And, actually, I'm looking at page 65 of your day 7. This is a workbook, actually, 21-day workbook. So day
yes.
7 is actually called Get Even.
It is, and if you notice, everything I'm talking about are creating revenge fantasies in your head.
Yes, and I actually found here where you said that, you know, you've got, like, the revenge fantasy, and then you've got revenge reality.
Yes, and all the things that will happen if you take those fantasies into real life. And the realities are never fun. They are never as fabulous as the fantasy may seem.
Right. So you say here, like it or not, every action has an equal and opposite reaction. And I think that's very wise. So I was happy to see that, because when I first got it, I was like, my goodness, what kind of hate is this lady preaching? And then I saw, oh, no, she's just talking about getting it out. I mean, that's actually the kind of advice they give you in therapy, you know. You write a hateful letter to your parents, but you just never send it.
Yeah, you never send it, because sending it doesn't do any good. The goal of everything I do when I work with women, when I'm talking to women, when I'm writing my books or writing a newsletter or writing a blog post, my message is, you cannot change the past, and the best way to step into your future is to let go of whatever you're holding on to from that past. That includes your desire for revenge. That includes your desire to hold on to your ex. And that includes your focus on what's going to happen next for your ex rather than your focus on what's going to happen next for you.
And, you know, that brings up an interesting idea. And I was just, in your experience, do you think it's possible for exes to be friends?
No. That's my short answer.
No.
The longer answer is that sometimes you have to be friendly because you've got kids or you own a business or work together. So you have to stay on friendly terms in some cases. But can you be friends? Not likely. Unless you both have found somebody else and are completely unattracted and over the other person. And that doesn't happen as frequently as we'd like to think.
Sometimes it doesn't even happen when both people are happily married.
It's true. It depends on the relationship, and don't count on being friends with your ex.
No. I mean, I recently found out that, you know, my ex-husband and I are good friends, but we've known each other for 27 years. But
were you friends immediately following the divorce?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
The exception to the rule right there.
I'm well aware of that. But it's so funny because I went to a social event where there were other family members there, and one of his ex-wives, who presumably is happily married, was there, and some people who didn't know who we were wanted to know how we were related, and I said that we had both been married to the same man. And you know what's interesting about this is apparently here she is, like, you know, gone to have a baby with this other man, been married for, I don't know, 20 years or something like that. She should be over this already, you know?
You would hope, yes.
The fact that I was truthful and honest and told this third person that we had been married to the same man at one time, and I said it just, like, you know, smiling, laughter. I mean, I'm over stuff. I processed it. I moved on. This is not a big deal to me. But apparently she went home and cried her little eyes out.
Well, everyone has their, and everyone processes differently. And here's an example, and this is a cautionary tale for anyone who's listening and hanging on to the ex. This can happen to you if you don't let go, if you don't move on, and you don't create a beautiful, blissful new life for yourself, is you can be in this position of still crying over somebody who has gone on to another life just like you have, but you may be just going through the motions. maybe you're not really letting go and moving on. And this is why it's important to do everything you can. And I talk about this in the book. That's why it's a 21-day plan. Because are you going to get completely over it in 21 days? Probably not. But if you do the work, because there's actual work with each day, you can accelerate your process, your progress tremendously.
Now, you know, that's a really good point, Lisa. And I work with people basically providing sex coaching and spiritual counseling.
Beautiful.
And what I have found is that it is, you know, I really value the clients that I have who are oriented towards authentic change. These are the people who show up to actually do the homework. And I recently just enrolled in a Jack Canfield coaching program, which I think
nice.
Oh, it's really good. Well worth the money. Love it. It's very energizing. But again, it's one of these things where, you know, when you first sign up and you get all the materials, you look at it and you think, well, I already know this stuff.
Right. I don't need to do all of this.
No, exactly. And I remember thinking, wow, I can't believe I paid that much money for this. And, you know, and then I actually start doing the homework, and I realize that's when you come up against the resistance to change. And what do you tell people, you know, how do you work with people who are just, they would rather live up in their head and tell you, well, yeah, I know all this stuff, and don't want to do the homework?
You know, this is the plight of the coach these days, because so many of us have coaches. I have a coach. I coach a lot of women. And I've gotten to a point where I have a very sophisticated screening process for my clients. I don't take just anybody because I don't want to waste someone's money or my time, frankly. Some women you can tell from a good half hour, 45-minute conversation, if they are really ready for change or if they just want to tell you their story for an hour at a time, every week, for as long as they've paid you for.
Yes.
And I don't want to waste their money and I don't want to waste my time, because my mission in life is to help women heal their hearts and move on to a life that serves them and suits them and that they deserve. Not staying in limbo forever, not staying the victim, not staying stuck and saying, look at what that jackass did to me, and it was 10 years ago.
Yeah, I totally know what you're talking about. I find it very difficult to work with those type of clients. I have to admit, I will confess, got a couple of them.
Well, so do I.
I let them hang around because they're paying the mortgage. But but if they are really resistant and won't do any homework, I have been known to at least threaten to fire them.
Yeah, and honestly, I think that's one of the best things. That, as you know, when you're a therapist, there's a distinction, and for anyone who doesn't really understand the difference, let's be clear. A therapist has a different kind of relationship with their clients, from my understanding. I used to be in therapy, so I know. I could just sit there and talk for an hour about my problems and come back in the next week and talk about the exact same thing, and that was fine with my therapist. Wasn't fine with me. I never got any growth out of it. Once I started working with the coach, it was phenomenal how my life changed, because I had to take responsibility, I had to hold myself accountable, I actually had to take steps forward, and I knew when I met with my coach again, I better have something new to say, or it was going to be really painful to like sit there for an hour and talk about why I hadn't done it. So as a coach, if I hear that someone's not making progress, I practice tough love and I call them on it. And if you're really ready to make change, then you want to work with a coach, somebody who can get you out of your stuff, out of your own way, can call you on the stuff that's not working for you. Because otherwise, we stay stuck.
Yeah, well, like, it's just like a coach in school, you know, they coach you to play a particular sport. They're not interested in how it felt when you broke your knee or...
Yeah,
or
if you had a shoulder injury, they want you to go to physical therapy, but they want you to continue.
Exactly, you know, or why you stayed up late the night before because you were crying, blah, 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 and nobody cares.
But
just to say that I don't, you know, my clients are talking about some pretty sensitive stuff, and I care about all their feelings, and I have a background in psychology, so sometimes I use some therapeutic models, but I agree. I think, actually, that therapy is on its way out, and I'm saying that as somebody with a degree in the topic. I think that people are frustrated with the fact that it is just kind of like babysitting. It's like, here, let me rehash my issues over and over again and never see anything shift or change.
Yeah.
I was in therapy for a lot of different topics. It was great stuff, but one day I looked up and I realized I'd been seeing the same therapist for 5 years. She hadn't moved me one inch in those 5 years. But she was very happy to keep taking my money every week.
Oh, of course.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, this is honestly, this is why I wrote the workbook, because I had written my first book, which is also called It's a Breakup, Not a Breakdown. And it sold really well. I got a lot of emails from women who were like, thank you so much. Your book was amazing. And then I also got a lot of emails from people who said, I read your book. I really appreciate it. I went back to my relationship. And I thought, well, that wasn't the goal. So I realized, and as I became a coach, I realized it's not about reading a book and being healed. It is about taking action and participating in your recovery, regardless of what your recovery is. Now, the recovery that we're talking about or that I'm talking about is healing your heart and realizing if you have destructive, dysfunctional relationship patterns, you have to shift those, and you may not be able to do it on your own. So with the 21-day workbook, every single day you are responsible for your healing heart. And it's not fun sometimes, but sometimes it is fun. I mean, day four is, you know, you get to grieve like a widow and have like an actual ceremony to, you know, exorcise your ex from your heart and grieve and mourn and do all of the stuff that really helps you shift how you feel, because you're no longer going, I don't want to feel sad because that makes me feel weak. You're going, wow, I really did lose a relationship. I'm allowed to be a widow.
Oh, this is so funny. So, okay, this is day four, like you said, widow for a day. And I'm looking at write a death notice. Name of the deceased. Since this is an adult radio, I can say something you couldn't even print in your book. My asshole ex. Mr. Limp Shrimp, Cheating Bastard, Mayor McSleaze, and the Cheap Creep.
Yes. So you decide who is deceased here. And if it, you know, you could even write, and I don't recommend this one, but if you don't want to be skating, you could write the love of your life. You could say the love of my life is now, you know, dead. But the point of this exercise is to help you see that there can be some fun in it. So, yeah, you get to write this death certificate and where the death occurred. You know, I mean, you can say in my apartment in the middle of Grey's Anatomy, he broke up with me, or, you know, somewhere between him cheating and confessing or whatever it is. And you get to have fun with this exercise. And my favorite part is when you actually get to write your will, your last will and testament. And you get to bequeath things like your ex's bad breath or his dirty toenail clippings in the sink, you know, in the bathtub. But you get to keep things like your dignity and your fabulousness and the dog and things that you really want to cherish and keep from the relationship.
Oh, my God. So, okay, like in the eulogy you say, so-and-so was a kind and gentle soul. That is until his overinflated ego got the best of him and he became an absolute nightmare to be around.
These are just starters. If they work for you, use them. If they don't, hopefully they inspire something.
They say breaking up is hard to do, but he had no problem dumping me like old dirty smelling garbage. My mother never liked him, and now I know why. I won't bore you with the details, except that here are the top 10 reasons he was an absolute ass. Okay, and you even have movies to mourn by. I love this.
Yeah.
There to remember. Beaches, The Bridges of Madison County, The English Patient, Ghost. Oh, Ghost is my favorite tearjerker. Legends of the Fall, Love Story, Same Time Next Year, Still Magnolias, and Titanic. These are great. They're some of the most codependent movies ever filmed.
And they're great to cry your eyes out by. I mean, I have done my fair share of crying to these movies. And this is therapeutic to feel the pain. It's not fun. But to have a good cry, to get out all that ick that's inside when you're going through the pain of a breakup, it's important. And if you need catalysts like movies or music, they're mentioned in the book. I also have the songs to put on your breakup playlist or on your iPod.
Now, speaking of crying, who's the boo-hoo crew?
Oh, the boo-hoo crew is so important to your healing heart. Your boo-hoo crew is your core group of girlfriends. It can be guy friends, too, but I really prefer girlfriends. They are going to help you get through this. So instead of calling your ex at 3 a.m. when you're really missing him and wishing that he would just come over and soothe your hurting heart, you call your friend and say, okay, talk me in from this emotional ledge. I don't want to call him, but I do want to call him, and what do I do about this? And your boo-hoo crew is there to support you. And the good news is that eventually your boo-hoo crew becomes your woo-hoo crew, and they help you move back out into the world again. So the boo-hoo crew is a temporary place.
So these are people that are actually have agreed to be on call to you?
Yes, yes. You recruit your boo-hoo crew, and I recommend 2 to 3 friends who will be your shoulder to cry on, your voice of reason, can also give you a kick in the pants when you're getting a little overly dramatic, and have your best interests at heart. So not people who are going to report back on your progress and setbacks to your ex. These really have to be friends who will support you, love you, nurture you, and call you on your stuff.
So how do you find people like that?
Well, hopefully you have 1 or 2 or 3 of these people in your life. I was lucky enough to have a really good boohoo crew. And I'll be honest, my boohoo crew got sick of me and called me on my stuff when I needed it. If you don't have 2 or 3 really close, trusted friends in your life, close by, maybe you've got them far away and they're people you can talk to on the phone, online, on Skype. And if you don't have that, then you need to go online and find a support group. And what I mean by that is there's lots of message boards, like Dr. Phil has a message board. I actually, on my site, lisastedman.com, have a message board where you can go and connect with other people. So it's important, regardless of your current circumstances, maybe you lost all your friends in the breakup, or maybe during the relationship you got isolated from your friends, so you're kind of starting over, but you've got to find a support system. You can even join a group support system if that's what works for you.
Well, you mentioned men and women can find these support groups, but your book is actually targeting women, right?
It is, but I must tell you that with my first book, I don't know so much about the workbook, but a lot of men bought my first book and said, thank you so much. It was so helpful. I felt so alone and so isolated. And one of the things that I really tell men is, even though you would like to go through this alone and pretend to be brave and strong, you have to get a boohoo crew. And if you're not comfortable asking your male friends, ask your female friends, not your ex, other female friends, or for men especially, if you want anonymity, go online in a chat room, in a message board, and get support that way. You cannot do it on your own.
Well, now, you actually say that men and women break up in a different way, or do they?
They break up in different ways. Here's how they really, and I want to be very clear for anyone who is staying connected to their ex right now. Here's how men and women are different in their recovery. Not so much in the breakup, but in the recovery. Men can stay connected to their ex and still move on because their ex gives them an ego boost, but they do not emotionally reconnect. Women, typically, this is not everybody, but typically what I've seen over the years is that women stay connected to their ex and they hold on emotionally. They think they're getting back together. They fall back in love and it doesn't work for them. So while men and women reconnect, the man is still moving on and you are staying stuck. And then one day he's dating somebody new and has to say, hey, I can't keep coming over for those late night post-breakup booty calls because I have a new girlfriend now. And you're sitting there going, wait a minute, I thought, when did you have time to go out and find somebody new? So this is how men and women differ in their breakup recovery. And that's why it's essential to cut off ties to your ex.
So, okay, so let me see if I can summarize this. What you're actually saying is that the man will continue to have a sexual relationship with his ex until he finds the next woman he wants to have a relationship with.
Sexual and or emotional, yeah. Any kind of connection to the ex works for him, yes.
Well, is he Is he planning on leaving and he knows that? Or, I mean, what's that about?
Well, I'm not in a guy's head, so I don't know. This is just what I've seen historically in my work with men and with women, is that it's easy for a man to operate this way, and it doesn't work for a woman. It doesn't work to stay connected. We cannot do it and still move on. So it's better for women, healthier for women, to just go cold turkey as hard as it is.
Huh. Interesting. So it's kind of in reverse in some ways, isn't it? Because it seems like in the context of a relationship, oftentimes the man is the last one to know that there's problems. And a lot of times the woman is the one that initiates the breakup, and she's the one that says she wants a divorce, and the man's like, but I thought we were so happy. Or I didn't think we had any problems. I mean, it was kind of like this whole, you know, deer in the headlight thing. And,
right.
And on the other hand, you're saying that once there has been a breakup, the man's more comfortable with kind of this laissez-faire thing. And the woman may think, what do you think the woman thinks, that they're going to get back together again? Is that what's going on for her?
Well, what I have seen is that a woman, it's hard for a woman to stay connected without staying emotionally connected, and that's where the trouble lies for women.
And
there are women who just can instantly be done with a relationship and blindside a man. That totally goes the opposite way as well. I've worked with so many women who thought everything was fine, and then one day he was out of there.
Huh. Wow. Well, that's interesting. That's interesting. Well, anyway, you get what I'm saying. Both, so like for the breakup, the woman is kind of like, well, you know, she's the last one to know that he's out of there. And during an actual long-term relationship, a committed relationship, it's like the man seems to be the last one to know that she's out of there.
I think it really, you know, breakups are all different. So I wouldn't say I see anything that says historically one versus the other. I'm just saying in terms of recovering, that's what I see over and over.
So that's what you've seen over there. Well, what are the five biggest heartbreak mistakes you say women make online following a breakup?
Are
we talking about online dating here?
No. This is staying connected to your ex online. So what I mean by this is, number one is, women stay connected to men on Facebook, on Twitter, on MySpace, because they don't, it's kind of like they're trying to save face and say, oh, the breakup didn't really hurt, we can still be friends. But guess what they're doing at 2 a.m? They're lurking on Facebook and seeing who's left him, like some cute girl who's left him a flirty comment. You know, there are pictures of him at this party and he looks really happy, and that just throws us for a total loop. So you must disconnect from your ex in social networking settings. Facebook is not our friend during a breakup. This is key to your recovery. And another thing that women do, and men do this too, but I see women do it more, is they try to blast their breakup online, whether they blog about it, they talk about it again, they tweet about it, or they're on Facebook saying, you know, I can't believe the jerk, blah, blah, blah. And that's not helping you heal and move on. That's what a journal's for. Blogging and journals are different things, and it's better to get those feelings out in the privacy of your own journal rather than in the public place of a blog or social media.
So one would be blogging about it publicly. The other one would be staying up late at night to see who's flirting with him on Facebook.
Yeah, staying connected on Facebook.
Right, and then what are the other online heartbreaking mistakes women make?
Another one is trying to engage in evenge, which is just revenge online, and that can be getting all your friends to gang up on him, like cyberbullying, or it can be logging into his email and sending out emails as him that are horrible and scathing and scandalous. This is so not worth our time or energy, and if I just gave somebody an idea, step back, don't do it.
Have time for this kind of nonsense. This is really kind of mind-blowing for me.
It's pretty, it used to be that you had to risk discovery by going by his house and, like, you know, slashing his tires or keying his car. Well, now you can do this online, and it's so much more anonymous that people feel freedom in anonymity, and so they're more likely to do it, and it's not healthy. It does not help you move on. Another mistake is expecting your social network. These are not your friends. You know, I have 1,000 friends on Facebook. Do I have 1,000 friends in real life? No. I would never say to my Facebook friends, hey, will you all go gang up on this person or take sides and say how great I am and how crappy he was during this breakup. That's a mistake that a lot of women make. Hey, Facebook, hey, Twitter, take my side. You know, you should also blast about what a jerk this person is. That doesn't do us any good. We see this with celebrities a lot. We see them taking their breakup or their divorce to MySpace or Twitter or Facebook because it gives them a sense of power, but it actually makes them look weak and a little pathetic, to be honest.
Well, if you ask me, the American culture has really taken a turn towards mean just in the last 4 or 5 years. I mean,
yes.
You know, especially with reality TV, it's become quite fashionable to spend a lot of time working on your scathing comeback, you know?
It's very true. It's very true. And then the final thing that we must do, and this is, I think, the most urgent, well, second to, no, Facebook and this are about the same. Password protect yourself. For some reason, in the very modern world we live in, couples, especially very tech-savvy couples, 20s and 30s, tend to share their passwords with their partners. You know my password. I know your password. As soon as you break up, go in and change all your passwords. You've
wow.
got to password protect yourself because you don't want somebody logging into your email and seeing who's emailing you or seeing what you're saying in email to your friends about the breakup. Or going into your banking, or going into your 401k. I mean, people get a little nuts sometimes during breakups, and so you must, even if you think your ex is the most fabulous person in the world that would never do this kind of thing, password protect yourself.
Wow, really good advice. By the way, I want to check in with the listeners. We're actually live, guys. I thought we were going to be a rerun today, but we're live. So, and I'm on Twitter and Facebook, speaking of both of those social networking sites. We're there right now. So if you have any questions or comments about today's show and don't want to actually bother to call in, which, of course, you can also do, but if you want to Twitter, I'm over at twitter.com/Veronica Monet. That's M-O-N-E-T, Veronica Monet. And then you can also call in toll-free at 888-228-4494. That's 888-228-4494. We've got Lisa Stedman, author of It's a Breakup, Not a Breakdown. She's got a brand-new workbook, just came out this year. It's a 21-day action plan to plot your revenge, spoil yourself, and find out how good your life is without him. And she's not actually endorsing revenge, but
no,
really cute.
But apparently,
exercise.
It sells books.
She's got some great exercises where you could do fantasy revenge without actually
yes.
hurting yourself or anybody else. So what do you think? Why do you think so many smart women wind up going back to relationships that aren't good for them?
I see this over and over again, and here's what's so fascinating to me. You know, I do a lot of work with women, both individually and in a group setting, and I have to say the women I work with are smart, they are successful, they are savvy, they are beautiful. They send me pictures, and I'm like, oh, my God, you're so beautiful. Here's where we get stuck. Here's where I have seen collectively women getting stuck. They forget about their own future, and they put every bit of energy, time, and focus on what's going to happen next for their ex. He's going to go off and get married and start a family and have a beautiful life, and I'm going to be single, alone, miserable. And when we play our ex's future over and over in our heads, that's why we go back, because we think the best has passed me by. It's in my past. It's not in my future. So even if the relationship wasn't everything I want, it's probably the best I'll ever get, so I'm going to go back. And here's what's wrong with that situation. It's not true. The best is yet to come, but you have to get through the pain first. So what I've seen and what I do when I work with women is we have to recreate what's possible for them in their future. Letting go of the past, that's the most crucial part of letting go and moving on, is believing that your fabulous future still exists.
Huh. So, okay. So women are more susceptible to this than men, to thinking that the best has already happened and there's no future?
From what I've seen, yes, and part of it is society, because we put a lot more emphasis than men do on our relationship status, having a boyfriend, being engaged, getting married. That's bigger for women than it is for men from a society perspective. The other thing is women are really competitive, so if you are of a certain age, as soon as you hit 30 pretty much, what I see is women start to panic. Oh, my God, I'm not where I thought I'd be. I should be married and have kids by now. And look at all the people around me who are getting it right and I'm getting it wrong. And we start to beat ourselves up and tear ourselves down and believe that we are the failure. And ladies, if you're listening and this sounds familiar, you are not a failure. You are still on the right path, and you're actually closer than you've ever been to the right relationship, because you're no longer in the wrong relationship. You just have to tweak your mindset.
Huh. Wow. Okay. Well, I still don't get why men... I think what you're saying is that basically men aren't as invested in being in a relationship.
What I'm saying is a woman gets much more of her identity from being in or out of a relationship, whereas being in or out of a relationship to a man is one piece of his identity. He's much more focused on, typically, this is not every man, but this is a lot of men. Men understand their value is about earning money, having a job, being successful in other areas. Women put a lot more value from a societal standpoint. It's not everybody. Put a lot more value and emphasis on, am I in a relationship? Where is my relationship going? Where are we headed? Are we on track? Men do that less.
Okay, so that they don't have like a plan so much.
Not usually.
Yeah.
Women,
okay.
We have plans, and sometimes mess with our head.
Well, it also messes with the relationship, because I know as women we tend a lot of times, we got to make sure we get the holidays and the birthdays and the decorating and the anniversary and all this planning.
I will tell you, the only time I ever I've been with my husband for four years now, I think, and we're coming up on our 1 year wedding anniversary.
Well, happy anniversary.
Thank you so much. He is such a gift to me. And we have a very drama-free relationship and are best friends and everything's awesome. The one challenge we ever had in our relationship, I didn't want to get married. And it was something, I knew I wanted a happy relationship, but I didn't want to, I was like, I'd rather have a happy relationship than be married, because it seems like everyone was focused on being married and I wanted to get it right. So I found my happy relationship. About 3 years in, we started talking about getting married. And so then we had agreed it was going to happen, and I didn't know when. So the one issue we had was we went on a trip to New York for my book tour 2 years ago, and I was convinced it was going to happen there, and when it didn't, I freaked out and became like everything that they show in movies about women who want to get married becoming, and I was like, who is this person? And I realized that as women, there's something cultural about it or societal about it, and we don't necessarily have control over it until we're aware of it. And I became somebody for a night that I didn't even know. And my husband, who was my boyfriend at the time, was like, I'm kind of scared. And I was like, I am too. And I just had to walk away from that freak out that I had. And so, ladies, if you're feeling the freak out, turn it down, because it's not serving you. It's just making you feel way more pressure than you ever need to put on yourself.
Well, and, you know, just historically, women certainly, I think some of this stuff is like residual. It lives in our cells, you know, as memories from generations gone by, and it's not even pertinent to us today. But, I mean, the fact is there was a time when there were only two things available to women. They could either become prostitutes or they could become wives.
And yes, those were the only options before, and we couldn't earn our own money, so we needed a man to take care of us.
Right, absolutely. And the irony of all this is that men are the ones that invented marriage, not women. But
I didn't know that. Well, they did.
Because it's an artifact of a patriarchal culture, which comes about 6,000 years ago. If you go to some areas like the Muxia in China, this is a matrifocal society where the women are dominant.
Oh, wow.
They don't have marriage. They don't have any use for it.
Interesting. Very interesting.
Yeah, but since men invented marriage and pretty much crippled women so that they couldn't go to college, they couldn't read books, they couldn't write books, they couldn't, hold property, they couldn't have a bank account, they couldn't vote, they couldn't do anything, well then, yeah, marriage became the only way to survive.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I think some women, it's like this leftover panic.
I agree, and I really, one of my missions in life is to help women let go of that panic because it doesn't help us, and it makes us feel really terrible about ourselves, and we don't need that. It doesn't serve us, and it doesn't help us.
Well, and you also distinguish between a regular breakup and a big breakup. Now, what's
yes.
different?
Well, along the way, breakups are a natural and normal part of life for any living, breathing, single, dating person. You're going to have breakups because not every relationship works out. And breakups are healthy. You realize, okay, that didn't work out. We shouldn't stay together. So breakups are natural, normal, and we all go through them. The big breakup comes along at least once for everybody. And when I say the big breakup, and having gone through my own, I'm going to use the words I used to describe that breakup, it is excruciating, it is life-changing, and it makes you question your ability to survive because you think, I'm in so much pain, I can never do this again, I must change my behavior and my beliefs and my participation in relationships because I can't do this again, be in the same place, feel this kind of agony ever again. They are the deal breakers.
Deal breakers.
Yes.
Okay, now I'm familiar with that term in the context of a relationship, you slap me, that's a deal breaker.
Right, well, here's what I mean by a deal breaker. You can, let me step back for a minute. The definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and over again and expecting a different result.
Oh, I'm familiar with that definition.
Yes. So when you look back at your relationship history and you go, pick the wrong guy, pick the wrong guy, pick the wrong guy, pick the wrong guy, break up, break up, break up, break up. And it's really easy to go, I just picked the wrong guys. Well, guess what? You're part of the pattern. So the deal breaker is when you realize I would rather be single and alone than ever be in pain again for the wrong guy. That's when you must change your life and change your behavior. And that's when the deal breaker is my heart won't accept anything less than the right thing.
Okay. So, in other words, you've hit an impasse where you are ready for true change, not just a change of face.
Exactly. I mean, and true change. And here's what I say to every woman out there who's like, I think I'm there. Okay, well, if you're there, then here's how it works. You can date, and you can date a lot, and I recommend you date a lot. You don't give your heart away to anyone until you know it's safe. You also learn to distinguish between dating, disappointment, and heartbreak. Because along the way, there will be disappointment. It is different than having your heart broken.
So some people confuse those things, huh?
Very easily. And it's understandable because it hurts, it stings. It's a different thing. And disappointment should not permanently sideline you. It should just be the thing that goes, okay, well, what can I learn from that? Anything? Do I need to change my behavior? Do I need to pick a different kind of person? Okay, got it, moving on. Whereas heartbreak is you're on the floor, you're crying, you're like, I can't do this ever again.
I have experienced plenty of breakups that I can't even remember the names of the people involved. But anyway, it's not a thing. not a thing. The big breakups in my life are, on one hand.
What they should be.
Yeah, and I've been alive for 49 years, so.
And this is the thing, I don't want people to go through big breakup after big breakup. If you do, you're not learning something.
Yeah, yeah. I couldn't agree more. Hey, let's talk about a fun part of this book. Not that the whole book isn't fun, but some parts are funner than others. I'm looking over here on page 129. You've got day 14, plan a girl getaway.
Yes.
This sounds like fun. So what kind of things can we do here?
Well, here's what's so great about the workbook is a lot of it is buckle down, feel the pain, and do it. And a lot of it is fun, freeing, and fabulous. One day I tell you to go get a makeover. What could be more fun than that? So planning your girl getaway, this is about you reclaiming your life. This is about saying, I have great people in my life. Maybe I don't have the romantic love that I thought I would have at this particular time in my life, but you know what? I have beautiful friendships, and I'm going to celebrate that. So if you can get away for a weekend, grab the girls and go, to the mountains, to the beach, wherever you want to go. If you can't get away because people have obligations, then you have a fabulous girls' night out. This is about reclaiming your fabulousness, celebrating your female friendships, and reminding yourself that you can have fun even in the midst of your healing heart.
Yeah, and some of the great titles here, we got Dinner and Dancing.
Yeah, that's always a fun one.
Yes. Cocktails and a Chick Flick.
Yes.
Girls Night In.
Love it.
My favorite, the Spa Weekend.
Oh, and who doesn't need a spa weekend just in general? But when you're healing your heart, you deserve lots of spa time. I'm a big believer
totally.
In that.
Massage me. Give me a facial.
Mani-pedi. Just do the work and treat yourself like a goddess. Because you deserve to reconnect to why you're so fabulous.
And Las Vegas, baby.
Las Vegas can be a great weekend if you've got a whole weekend to get away with the girls. But you've got to make sure you can pull it off. Not everybody's ready for Vegas because Vegas is a crazy town. So you've got to be ready.
Look at you here. You've got suggested activities. Sip cocktails poolside while working on your tan. Dance the night away in one of the many bass-thumping clubs. Get tickets to a hot headliner show. Test your luck at the slots or craps tables. Exchange your $20 bill for a dollar bill and hit a saucy strip joint. Woo!
Yeah, have fun. You got to remember, fun did not go out the window with your ex. Fun is still here.
Oh, that kind of fun actually probably only went out with the relationship. So you're all coming back.
Yes, it is.
Now, speaking of a post-breakup makeover, this is day 15. My God,
yes.
You only have to go 2 weeks and you're already into the really fun stuff here. You have a headline here that says, you must have a makeover. So do tell, why must we have a makeover?
Well, here is just the tough reality when you go through a breakup. It messes with your self-esteem. Can make you feel ugly, fat, unsexy, unattractive, uninteresting. And again, my goal here is to remind women that your fabulousness is still here. So one of the best ways to do that is get a makeover, change your haircut. And one of the things I recommend, and I actually did this now, not in my breakup recovery, but I did this about 6 months ago, was if you've got super long hair, donate your hair. Cut off 8 to 10 inches and donate your hair so that you're giving somebody in need something fabulous and you're giving yourself a brand new look. So whether it's a new hairstyle, new makeup, new clothes, and it doesn't have to cost a lot of money. You can do secondhand stores. You can take your really awesome clothes to a consignment store. You can get a makeover at the makeup counter and then pick and choose the items you actually want to buy. All of this can be very budget-friendly, and I give budget-friendly tips throughout the book because I know when you go through a breakup, sometimes there are expenses. You got to move. You got to find a new place. You're splitting up, and so maybe your rent is going to be more than it had been in the past. I get that. So you can break up in style and heal on any budget.
And they even have these stores now where women get together and, or maybe it's events, maybe they're not stores, but I saw something on television where women get together and actually just trade clothes.
I love that. Yes, a clothing swap.
Yeah, yeah. So nobody has to spend any money, and you still get to walk away with something brand new.
Brand new to you. Yeah, brand new to you.
So we're just about out of time. This interview just flew. You are so much fun. And
oh,
I gotta tell
thank you.
Your book is amazing. I really love the fact that you are helping people to, you know, take steps so that they're not just talking about it, they're actually doing something making their life better. How can people find this book?
Well, they can go to Amazon or bookstores and find the book. I encourage everybody to go to lisastedman.com because not only are you going to find out about the book, you're going to get amazing resources. I want to tell you something super cool I'm doing starting Monday. In my mission to help as many women as possible heal their hearts by the holidays, I am launching a video blog where I give a free video tip every day for the rest of the year, even on weekends, to help you heal your heart and move on in record time. So go to lisastedman.com. You can find out more about that. You can find out about the book, and you can get a daily tip for the rest of the year on how you can heal your heart by New Year's Eve and be in a more magnificent place by New Year's Day.
Heal your heart by the holidays.
Yes.
That's fabulous.
Yes. And I also, for anyone who needs hands-on help, go to healedbytheholidays.com. I am leading an 8-week teleclass that starts in October that will have you so over your ex and into your bliss by New Year's Eve, you will not believe that you are the same person. It's very cool.
Yeah, and that is really awesome because the holidays is so hard, especially when you don't have somebody.
It's the hardest time of year to be single because everyone's all coupled up. And the other thing is if you're going through a breakup during the holidays, it is excruciating. And I don't want any woman to be in pain unnecessarily or needlessly this holiday season. So that's what this mission is about, to help every woman get where she wants to go so she can call in what she wants to call in. And if it's love, then bring in the love. If it's career, then work on the career. But get over the heartbreak so you can get on with your life.
Awesome. Lisa, you're amazing. Are we going to see you on Oprah anytime soon?
I'm waiting for her call.
All right.
She's going to call any day now.
I'm going to be looking for you.
Awesome. Thank you. This is such a pleasure. I'm so glad this worked out.
So am I. Thanks so much. And thanks for the copy of the book. I'm going to work my way through it.
Awesome. Thank you.
All right. Best of luck on the book. And
thank you.
And again, one more time, that teleseminar starts when?
It starts October 12th. You can go to healedbytheholidays.com, find out about that, and lisastedman.com. It's your daily tip for the rest of the year, and this will rock your recovery.
Absolutely great. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
We'll have you back on here when your second book or third book comes out, okay?
Awesome. It's coming out in January, so we'll be talking soon.
You will. Absolutely.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you for tuning in tonight. If you liked what you heard and you want more solutions for your love life, please call me toll-free at 888-903-0050. Once again, that number is 888-903-0050. I am the only person who answers that line, and I am usually available Monday through Friday from 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. Pacific Time. You can also visit sexwithoutshame.com to discover more of what I can do for you. And remember, your secret is safe with me.